This is one thing that I think should really be taught in all high school curriculums, maybe even a little earlier, maybe even the later half of middle schools, the topic should be brought up, especially if you're not fortunate enough to have parents that understand the importance of it. It really sets yourself up to win if you have good credit.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening, as always. I got a quick episode, action-packed as always. But again, let's get into a little housekeeping like always. Thank you for those who actually take the time, get on, leave a rating or review. It really helps the show, helps to get in front of more eyes and ears. And it just means a lot that you take the time to do that. So again, like always, I'm going to read one quickly for everyone. It is from KBear772. Excellent information can be found here. This man is brilliant. Thanks. I don't know about that, but thanks. Tell it like it is and interpret the info for us lazy people. LOL. Great job, Sean. I don't think I'll go anywhere else to get the necessary insight and information on real estate anymore. Thanks to the well-produced and high-quality content. This has everything. Well, thank you so much. That means a lot. There's some other great ones out there, but I appreciate that you're tuning in. And like always, if you find any value and you think that you know anyone, maybe a friend, family member that could find value as well, please share it with them. Just one. If you were just to share it with one, it would really help the show. But anyways, today's episode, today's Finance Friday episode is all about credit. What is credit? Why is it important? And how do we get good credit? This is one thing that I think should really be taught in all high school curriculums, maybe even a little earlier, maybe even the later half of middle schools, the topic should be brought up, especially if you're not fortunate enough to have parents that understand the importance of it. It can really set yourself up to win if you have good credit. It makes stuff in life so much easier. And above all, it makes life cheaper for you with good credit. So first, let's just dive into why would you even want to take the time to get good credit? You're making good money. You don't really need to use credit card. Not even worry about it. First, that's completely wrong. No matter your income situation, you should always strive for good credit because everything is going to be cheaper. It's going to make everything easier on you in life. So first, obviously, you're going to get lower rates from when you applied it to a loan because you have good credit, which shows the bank, the lender, that you have a history of making your payments and being able to manage credit. So lower rates on things like a mortgage, on a car loan, anything where you're going to be applying, like you can get better chance on getting that credit card and loan approval, as well as getting into some of those top tier credit cards that have better points, because not all credit cards are created equally. One, some have better rewards, and those are usually the ones that are going to be focused more on that higher end credit score. And also, not all credit is created equally. I'll get into a little bit more on this, but like certain credit cards will help you build credit better than others. And I'll get into that in a little bit. Good credit also gives you more negotiating power when you go to apply for something, trying to get better terms, better rates. You know, if you have poor credit, there's going to be like, relax, you're lucky you're even getting this loan, whatever it happens to be applying for. So it gives you more negotiating power. You can get approved for higher limits. Now, this is not always the best for people who have spending issues. You probably don't want a higher limit. But if you're able to establish good spending habits, and that's not something you're worried about, higher credit is a good thing. It's not that you're going to utilize that credit, but part of how your credit's scored, we'll get into in a little bit, but it's your utilization rate. How much of the credit are you using? So the higher credit limit you have, the more you can use and not be above that kind of sweet spot utilization, which is pretty low. And we'll get into that. And also, this is what people don't realize. When you go to apply for an apartment, especially in today's really hot apartment market, rental apartment market, they look at your credit. So if you don't have the best credit, they're likely not going to go with you, especially in such a competitive market. They're going to look for the highest credit because, again, that shows that you're good at paying your bills one on time and that you can manage all your bills and you meet your debt obligations. So that's huge, especially in today's market where housing deficit of 4 million units. It's not like the landlord's begging you to come live. No, you're begging the landlord to live there. So don't shoot yourself in the foot. Get that credit in check. And then insurance rates for your car, for your home, you're going to get better rates with better credit. That's just how it is. Because again, another aspect of it, they want to make part of the liability is not just that you're going to get an accident, but are you going to pay? And credit shows them again that historically you've had the ability to do that. And this is one I was doing a little research. I didn't even realize this was a thing because I've always been focused on having good credit. So I've never run into this, but both cell phone companies and utility companies, so when you pay electric, heat bill, whatever it happens to be, if you have poor credit, they'll make you put a security deposit. They'll make you put a deposit down, even like can access that account. So I just can't even imagine. You're moving, you got to put security deposit down, maybe first month's rent. Then you got to put a utility deposit down too. That adds up quick. And then on top of that, you want your cell phone, you got to put a deposit down for that. I guess if you're in that point, you probably should not be getting a cell phone if you don't have that stuff in check. But I digress. But overall, good credit just makes your life a lot easier and a lot cheaper. And that's the point of this. The show is not just how much money you make, but it's what you keep. So then you can keep grow that money and create the life you want to live. We all have dreams. We all have goals, no matter how big they are, how small they are, or even the breadth of them. They all require time and money. And credit is an important part to establish good money habits. Keep more and you can put it to work. So, okay, now let's just jump into how is credit calculated? First, the biggest bucket is payment history. This is 35% of your score. That's simply, do you pay your bills on time? This is the most important one. Always pay your bill on time and pay it in full. I actually recommend, if you can, pay it halfway through the billing period. Don't wait for like the day before or the day of. Do it halfway through because it's going to help with the utilization, right? Which we're going to get into. And it's just a good habit too. If something happens with a bill pay and it didn't go through, you have a few weeks to catch that rather than maybe a day or an hour or not even enough time. But if you can't pay it in full, which I hope that's not the case, because if you're getting whacked with 18 to 25% interest rates, this is a way that's just going to cripple your financial position. It's going to make it hard to get back in check, on track, and get your money working for you. But if unable to pay the full amount, pay at least the minimum. If you pay the minimum, it is not considered a late payment. It is considered on time. So if that's the situation, pay the late payment. But again, do your best to pay it in full. I'm serious on this one. All right, the next category, how you're scored, is accounts owed. And this is amounts owed. And this is 30%. So how much credit are you using? And if you have a high usage rate, this will actually hurt. Even if you're within your limit and you're paying on time, this can hurt you. So the recommendation is to only use 10% of your credit limit. So if you have several credit cards, let's say your credit limit is 10,000 in total, you would only want to use $1,000 of that credit at a time. So over that billing cycle, you'd only want to use 1,000. So if you go over 10%, especially if you get up to using like 9,000, 90%, that's going to whack your credit score. And this goes back to my point why this is the aspect where it is good to have higher limit, because I don't know about you, but most people are going to have expenses higher than 1,000 a month. You should always use your credit card, because especially when you get rewards and points, this is something like, why use a debit card? It also opens you up to, if someone gets into your account and steals money, it's a lot easier the way the credit cards are set up, both from a legal standpoint, they have to pay you back, right? Whereas when it comes to a debit card, it gets in the gray area there. Yes, they generally pay you back, but not always. You could be out that money. So again, it's just safer to use credit cards. And also you're getting paid to use those credit cards because you're getting points and benefits. So if you're going to have a bill, why would you not use a credit card? So it's important to get that credit limit up so then you can utilize, so you can use your credit cards and not go above that cent usage. Now, if you go above, it's not the end of the world. You know, as soon as you pay it off before they would pull it, you know, it's gonna bring your credit back up, right? And generally they calculated generally every 3 months. I believe it's 3, 6, 9 a year is how they kind of update the calculation and the score. So yeah, try to keep it within 10. Obviously, life happens and things come up where you're not going to be able to. It's not the end of the world, but do your best to try to keep it in 10% or less utilization rate. All right, next category, length of credit history. This is 15%. So how long your credit cards have been established, including the age of your oldest account, the age of your newest account, and the average of them all. This is a big factor that a lot of people overlook. I even used to overlook this. They want to know, you know, how long specific credits have been, accounts have been established, how long, and then how long it has been since you have used certain accounts. So for example, I had paid off, and I'd mentioned this in the episode where we had talked about, you know, student loans, how you can pay them off faster. If you want to listen to that episode, that was episode 22, where I just went into how you can pay off student loans and really any debt similar to that structure faster. What I learned when I paid off my student loan is my credit dropped, because my length of credit history significantly dropped, because that was one of my longest accounts. It comes back over time, but if you do that and then you want to apply for something that requires a credit pull, say you pay off your student loan and you want to go buy a house, it's going to drop your credit score. I think it dropped mine somewhere in the amount of like 40 to 50 points, which is quite drastic. And it came back within like a month or two. Luckily, I wasn't trying to buy anything right then, but if I had it, it would have affected me. So keep that in mind. You want to have good average length of credit history. Next is credit mix. And this is 10% of how they score everything. And that's just, they want to see how much variety of credit you have. So you have a few credit cards, maybe you have a mortgage, a car loan. They just want to see that you have the ability not only to pay your accounts on time, but also that you have the ability to pay different types of debt on time, manage all of that. That's very important to lenders. And then the last is new credit, and this is also 10%. If you look at this, research shows that opening several credit accounts in a short amount of time represents a greater risk, especially for people who don't have long credit history. So that goes back to the length of credit history. New accounts will lower your average account age. So simply just don't like open a lot of new accounts, especially before you're going to go to apply for something. And I know this is kind of one of the weird parts of building credit, because it doesn't always make sense, because they want you to have a good credit mix, the ability to pay on time, different types of credit. Also, they want length of credit history. So that's going to require you to open more accounts. But then if you do open more accounts, it's going to drop your score. So just don't do it before you're going to apply for something that requires your credit score. Do all this before you think that you're going to need to use credit, and then it'll help build. And then over time, that'll come back. Credit will come back up even though you're opening new accounts. Just look at tips and tricks of how to like kind of game this whole thing and how the credit is scored. So obviously payment history is easy. Just pay on time, preferably pay in full. You should definitely pay in full, but if not, pay at least the minimum. So amounts owed, again, a good tip here is not to have a balance above 10% of your available credits, your credit limit. Again, like if you have to go over, it's not the end of the world. Pay it off as soon as possible and your credit will come back up. Now, length of credit. Don't close your oldest accounts, but that doesn't mean then don't go use your that old, say it's a credit card. That doesn't mean don't go use that old credit card, because a part of this, they look back and see how long it has been since you've used certain accounts. So that would be one of them. So a hack here is every one of your credit cards use at least 1% of the credit limit. So if you have a card with $1,000, use 10 bucks a month. If it's 10,000, use 100 bucks a month. And a hack here is just like, set up recurring payments on each one of your credit cards. So that could be a phone bill, maybe your internet bill, insurance, whatever it is, just set recurring payments on each one. So you're always using a portion of that, at least 1% of that credit. And then again, don't open new credits too often or too frequently, new credit lines, because that will also diminish your average length of credit history. And then credit mix, I say have at least 3 to 4 credit cards. And you're not going to be penalized to have more, but it just depends how good you are at managing money. Like if you're not that great at managing money, don't get like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 credit cards. Just don't do that. But you need a few, because again, it shows it's going to give you more credit, obviously, so you can stay within that utilization. But it's also for that credit mix, they're going to see that you have the ability to manage several credit cards along with any other credit you have out there. And then like I mentioned earlier, not all credit is created equal. So that Home Depot credit card is not going to help you build credit as fast and as same type of quality as say a tier one credit card from a tier one bank. So like think your Chase and your Amex like that. And then also variety helps. So it's great if you have like a car loan on a mortgage. It just again shows that variety that you're able to manage different types of credit and pay them all on time. And then new accounts, we've kind of already hit on this. Just try not to open new accounts right before you're about to apply for something. So if you want to go buy a new home, don't open a new credit card. Don't do that. That will ding you. And even I've been in circumstances where I had my credit pulled because I bought properties, a few months before, and they ask about it. Luckily, they're more lenient on that. It's like, oh yeah, he bought that house. Look at the property, good rental income, and so on and so forth. But like, don't go open a credit card. And now the biggest hack in the book, this one will raise your credit really fast. But it involves having someone that trusts you. That could be a parent, your partner, whoever it happens to be, someone who has good credit and trusts you. And this is something called authorized users. So someone with good credit can add you as an authorized user. And this will bump your credit up significantly. I've seen where it's bumped up people 150 points, just like right then, like that, just being added as an authorized user. Now there's different age limits, because this is a really good hack for your children. And this is what I plan to do, is you just add your child as an authorized user from the start and then use the card that they're on. Just put up recurring payments that you pay. And some like Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citi, and Capital One, they don't have any age limits or requirements, but some others do, like Amex, I know, has got to be at least 13 to be added as an authorized user. But even at 13, you can start building your child solid credit. So that's just a great hack. But you got to trust the person. Obviously, you can just add them as an authorized user and not give them the card, and that will help as well. Or you could take the card and maybe put one of your recurring bills on it and then just pay it off, and it would help them build credit as well. So these are just a few hacks on how to improve your credit. Again, this is very important. It's going to make life a lot easier and a lot cheaper. Again, it's not what you make, but it's what you keep. And then what you keep, you can grow, create a life you want to live on your terms, do what you want to do with whoever you want to do it with, when you want to do it. Because again, time freedom is one of the best freedoms out there. Guys, thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.